Good evening. Tonight, if you have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel 12, we're going to work out of the verses there. I titled the lesson, God's Working Among Sinfulness. And we're going to see that in the people of God, that even when the people of God can get off base, God's still at work. What He's trying to do, what He's trying to accomplish. Now, there's other problems that start arising, but it doesn't stop God what He wants accomplished. Samuel's a prophet. He's a priest. And God's people wanted a king. And so God granted it. They got their king. It wasn't what God wanted, but it's what they wanted. And now they're in a mess. And so as we began to go through in chapter 12, verses 6 through verse 13 of chapter 12, it's kind of a rehash of history for the people. And He wants to take them back through, and He's showing that they're consistently following sinful things and are consistently in trouble. And they don't seem to get a message. Look at verse 6. And Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron, and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. So now, take your stand, that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord which He did for you and your fathers. Take your stand. I want you to hear what's coming. Brace yourself. Because what we're about to discuss the righteous acts of God. How people have moved away, but God still acts righteously. Verse 8. When Jacob went into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and settled them in this place." The only reason you have a place, the only reason they had a land, is because God gave it to them. Now, you know, that doesn't mean as much to us, but here they were, they're over here in Egypt, they cry out. God hears His people's voices. He hears when they hurt. He hears when they cry out. And so guess what God sends? He sends Aaron, He sends Moses. They're going to come, they're going to talk, and they're going to bring you out, and they're bringing you out to settle you in this place. Because this is where I wanted you to be. It's a blessing from God, verse 9. But they forgot the Lord their God. So He sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. How quick people forget. We're not talking about ignorant people that don't know anything about God. Guess who we're talking about here? We're talking about the people of God. They saw 10 plagues sent from God. They watched the Egyptian army be drowned. They watched that sea open up. There was a lot of things that they saw, that they watched. And you know what? They forgot the Lord their God. Now you think those people of God, with the things that they observed and the things they went through, and they could forget the Lord their God, what do you think about in the church today? Now how easy is it for us? How easy is it for us to say, well, we hadn't forgotten the land of the Lord, you know, or the things of God. We hadn't forgotten the righteous acts of God. Wait a second. He said, "I've sent three nations on you. I've sent three nations on you. You can't figure out why you're so miserable and unhappy." And that's what He's telling them. They fought against them. All these three nations. And you're getting pounded. And you can't even figure out why. Why are you unhappy? Why are you miserable? You see, a lot of times when people are miserable, they don't ever see that it may be the hand of the Lord trying to get their attention, because the Lord isn't making them miserable. They, back here, had forgot the Lord their God. You and I can too. Even though you can say, oh no, we love the Lord our God. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to live it. Look at verse 10. They cried out to the Lord and said, we've sinned because we've forsaken the Lord and have served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. And now deliver us from the hands of our enemies and we will serve you. Now you cry out. I mean, they're in trouble. They're being pounded by these three nations, one after another. They're going down, and now they cry out to God again. Oh, help us. We know we've sinned. We know that we've forsaken the Lord. We've served Baal and the Ashtaroth. You know, that's a female deity, a female goddess. And so they are aware that they've been doing that. You know, they've just kind of gone over and just kind of started intermingling with some ideas of the nations around them. And no big deal. It is a big deal if you serve the Lord. It is a big deal. And now they're crying out. They want God to deliver them. And then they say, we're going to serve you. Huh. We're going to find out. It's easy to say it. But it's another thing could be going on. Continue on. Look at verse 11. Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Japheth and Samuel and delivered you from the hands of your enemies all around so that you lived in securely. You see God working in their sinfulness. They have forsaken the Lord their God not once, not twice, many times over. They cry out to God. You know what God sends them? He sends them four men. If we want to call it today in the church, he sends them four preachers. You know, they're prophets. And he sends them and he says, you know, he sent Jerubbaal, Bedan, Japheth, Samuel. And you know why God sent them? To deliver you. So that you can live securely. You didn't deserve it. No, you don't deserve what you got. But the Lord was gracious. The Lord worked among you, and now you've been rescued one more time. You're living in security. Oh, God can work in the sinfulness, but he's trying to get his people to realize how far off they've really gotten, and he's using this history to teach them. Look at verse 12. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us, although the Lord your God was your king. Nahash, he's king of the Amorite. Here's Nahash. And in some way, we don't know how, but this king, Nahash, apparently impressed the people of God. Wow, this guy's a real leader. He's a real king. We're impressed. We want a leader just like that. And so he's reminding them, you saw this king, he came against you, and you say now, we want a king over us, even though God was your king. And you know, that's the dangerous part. That's what I see the dangerous part today in the church, is that people get easily stirred up to things. And all of a sudden they start wandering off with ideas or things that they want, and it becomes the height. And Lord God's saying, wait a minute, this is what I want. Oh, no, but boy, if we just had this going, if we had that going, boy, we would be at the height of everything. Lord says, wait a minute. I was your king. Now you want to go in man's way. You want to do it another way. See, they continually put God off. And here's Samuel. He's having to tell the people. And it's tough. It's tough on Samuel. Look at verse 13. Now therefore, here is the king you've chosen, whom you asked for. And behold, the Lord your God set a king over you. Here's your king, folks. It's King Saul. King Saul ended up one of the most ungodliest men that reigned in the nation. This is the fella you chose. This is the direction you wanted to go. I'll let you go. And you know what? I even helped you out. I even let the king I even chose him, or what you chose, I even let him reign over you. That's what you want. And so everything ends up bad for people. You know, we should learn a lesson. We need to learn a lesson in the church, because these applications apply to us. Sometimes you go along, you find yourself, you're over here, you can't figure out why things are bad for you. If you'd only listen to the Lord your God, pay attention to Him, you'll find out. But that's the hard part for a lot of people. And here's Samuel having to tell him. Well, he said, here's your history. Well, in verses 14 through 18, he's going to let them know, just because you got what you wanted doesn't mean you're okay with the Lord, and to know that God still reigns. He still rules even though you got a king. Look at verse 14. He says, if you will fear the Lord and serve Him and listen to His voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. Here's the message. Same message for the church today. Here's the message. Fear the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Serve the Lord. Don't rebel. That's the message. And it's still the same message in the church. Fear the Lord. Listen. Don't rebel. Serve Him. Same thing can happen. We're not beyond what they're going through. And Samuel sends this warning out that a lot of times people of God aren't serving the Lord. They're not fearing the Lord. They're not listening to the Lord. They're rebelling, when the whole time the people were saying, we love the Lord. They're worshiping the Lord. You can get removed. So he sends a warning. Hey, it'll go well with you. Things can turn around if you'll listen. Verse 15. He says, if you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Well, what are you going to do? You and I, as we sit here tonight, we have a choice to make. Are we going to listen to the voice of the Lord? Are we going to rebel? You got to listen to the Lord. And so there's a lot of things at stake, he says here. And the thing is, the hand of the Lord, he said, will be against you. I mean, you can get yourself in trouble spiritually with the Lord. Even the best of people, if they're not careful. And so here they were. They have laid before them. You got a choice. You got to make up your mind what you're going to do. Look at verse 16. He says, even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. I want you to get ready and brace yourselves again. I want you to watch what's about to happen. And here's what's going to happen. Verse 17. Is it not the harvest, wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord, that He may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king. Wheat harvest. You know what you don't need in a wheat harvest? You don't need bad weather. I mean, we got mildew, we got blight, we got things tore up in your crops. And Samuel said, I just want you to watch what's about to happen. I'm praying today. And I'm praying that the Lord sends thunder and rain. And when I do, you're going to find out how serious all these matters are. And you need to have the right attitude. God's upset because they've been following other nations. They're still following other nations by asking for a king. And God is displeased with His people. Oh, but we cry out to the Lord when we're in trouble. Oh, Lord, don't you know how bad I hurt? Yeah, why haven't you been listening to me? You listen to everybody else, but you don't listen to me. So now, we're going to have some thunder, some rain. You're going to see that this thing is much more serious. Well, one thing we need to learn, when there are disasters, there is a message being sent from heaven. And we need to know that. Continue, verse 18. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. He sent thunder and rain that day. Your winter is just going to be a long, tough winter because you just lost your crop. Oh. You know, there's sometimes I've often thought, and I know we can't do this today, but there's sometimes I've often thought, wish we could do that in the church. Try to, you know, hey, Lord, send us something. Let's go. Let's get this, keep things on track here. Just like happens back here. Well, in verses 19 through 25, we see the mighty hand of God at work among their sinfulness. Look at verse 19. Then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God, so that we may not die. For we have added to all of our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. We may not die. You know, when you come face to face with your sins, when you come face to face that you've been off base and the Lord could strike you down, you ever reflected a time in your life when you knew you were off? What if the Lord would have taken your life at that time? Where would you be? Well, I can think back and it makes me shudder. As sometimes in my life at times, oh, I am so glad He spared me. They cry out to Samuel, pray for us so we don't die. Sometimes you get yourself in such a mess, you better have someone else praying for you. They better be righteous people. Because your prayers may not be ascending very far at all because of the unrighteousness and the wickedness in the heart. And that's what they were doing. And they're asking, pray for us. You know, we want help. Look at verse 20. Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You've committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all of your heart. I mean, when you're in trouble and you know it's about to get tougher, and you've just watched the thunder, you've heard it, you've watched the rain and the crops be ruined, and you just pleaded to pray for us, and all of a sudden, here's the prophet of God turns and he says, do not fear. What great words would it be to hear from the Lord at that time? They're not interested in what other people think now. They're not interested in how other people view things. They're not interested in going following other things. They are concerned about their relationship between they and the Lord. And he said, even though you've committed this evil, you need to get that heart set back on serving the Lord and serving Him with a whole heart. That's always the answer, brethren. No matter where you're at in life, it's always the answer is serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart, no matter what anybody else says or does. Serve the Lord, verse 21. You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver because they are futile. You know what? It's easy to start chasing in your mind, in your heart, things that aren't going anywhere. Boy, over the years in the church, I have witnessed people. They are so stuck and so strong set and the way they're going to go, and they're going to stay with it, and they'll drive themselves into the ground. It's futile. It ends up being nothing. You find no strength. You find no help. You find no encouragement. You find no contentment. You find no satisfaction. Everything is just a chore, and you haven't realized what's been happening to you. He says, hey, don't you turn aside. You serve the Lord your God. That takes a true and honest heart to do that. Serve the Lord your God. Verse 22. For the Lord will not abandon His people on account of His great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for Himself. You want to see God at work among the sinful? God at work. He said He's not going to abandon His people because of His great name. You know what He has to do? God has to wipe out the majority of the people. There was only a remnant, a small number left. But in that remnant, you know what God was looking at from His namesake? He started way back there with Abraham. Actually, He started back in the garden. But He came and He made a covenant with Abraham. And 2,000 years down the road, there was going to come a Savior. And so God's name stood in that covenant. And He said, even though that this great name, that God's not going to abandon who He is. Yes, we're going to destroy the majority of people, that they're not going to make it. But there's going to be this remnant. Because He's looking at Jesus 2,000 years down the road. We've got to get Jesus out of this remnant. See, God's not going to abandon His people. And by the way, even Paul reminded the people in Romans 10, not all people who are Jews, they weren't the people of God, just because they bore the name. Not everyone in the church who bears the name Christian or member doesn't mean they're a member of the church. And God knows the difference. But the one thing about it, God's not going to abandon His people because of His name. He's made promises, and He's going to work that to the end. Look at verse 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. You know what Samuel says? I'm going to keep instructing. I'm going to keep teaching. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. It's going to be the right way. It's going to be what's needed. I'm going to keep instructing in the good and right way. And if I cease praying for you, I'm going to be in sin. You know, you can almost hear Jesus say these same words. When Jesus speaks about your enemies, what does He say to do for them? Pray for them. Pray for your enemies. There shouldn't be enemies, especially among the people of God. Sometimes they act like it. And Samuel, he says, it would be a sin for me not to pray for you. But there's one thing about it. I'm not going to cease to instruct you in what is right, what is good. You know, we find that in the New Testament. You know, talking about myself as a preacher, or Kerry as a preacher. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the first two verses there. He tells Timothy, you preach the word. You preach the word in season and out of season. Doesn't matter if people sit there, they like it or they don't like it. Doesn't matter how people feel about you personally. That's not the issue. The issue is we must serve the Lord. We must follow the Lord. And to serve and follow the Lord is that we must preach the word whether or not they like it or not. And that's what Samuel is saying to these people. That's what God expects of the preachers today, is that we've got to preach the word whether or not people receive it or don't receive it, whether or not they like it or they don't like it. Preach it, because God can expose what needs to be exposed, and God can correct what needs to be corrected. And so, we've got to keep instructing. That's what Samuel said. And I'm not going to stop it just because you feel like you want to go chase another whim over here, or you want to forsake the Lord again. We're not going to stop it. Verse 24. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. That's 23. But I will instruct you in the good and right way. 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. One more time. Fear the Lord. You need to consider the great things He's done for you. That was for them. What great things has the Lord done for you? Well, let's just go back. Most of us are familiar with Acts 2:38, where Peter said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Lord forgave you. The Lord cleansed you. The Lord blessed you by giving of His Spirit. What great things has He done? That within itself, our salvation. And so you know what? We need to consider the great things the Lord's done for us. And that's what He's done. Verse 25. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away. This is the truth. You and I cannot begin to measure the worth of sincerity. You can't measure it. The Lord wants people saved. He wants everybody saved. But you and I can't go off and act wickedly or follow things that are wicked and evil or wrong, sinful, anything, and expect to come out with a sincere faith in the end. Sincerity is everything. Have a sincere faith. Have a sincere love for the truth. You and I, we're going to fail sometimes, aren't we? We're going to fall on our faces. I know I have, and I know I'm going to continue at times. Not intentionally. You either. But you know what? If you'll get up and change your heart and start listening to the Lord, start serving the Lord, start fearing the Lord, and have a sincerity in your faith to do it, to help the Lord's cause, you'll find things get a whole lot better in your life quickly. You're going to feel better. You're going to do better. And you're going to make progress. But if we choose not to do that, you're going to deteriorate little by little until one day you'll step across that line and it won't be good for you in the end. And so, God can still work among sinfulness. Maybe God's working on a remnant. You take the seven churches there in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Five of them were in deep trouble. But you know what He did to the righteous, the sincere? In every one of them, He placed no burden on them. He just told them, "You keep walking with me. I'll take care of the ones that are wicked, and I'll take care of the ones that are righteous." God can work among the sinful. Let's have a heart committed. Let's walk with Jesus.